for Sunday night Bible study. So, but it's good to see all of you here. It's good to see summer is here. It feels like summer is finally here. We've waited for it for a while, but it is good to be here. So I want to share with you guys today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in 1 Timothy at the end of it, a little bit into the 2 Timothy. So we're going to be a little bit into 1 Timothy chapter 6. But I got to share some news with you. We had a banquet on Thursday. It was a good banquet for the ministries. We were talking about the ministries, and we did it at the UAW Hall. And there was, I think it was about 100, just shy over 100, right at that 100 mark. And it was a great night, and we got to hear from one of our former residents here who has done a great job. And she went through it 5 years ago and still clean and still good, attending another church here and there with her mom. And like she said, New Life is a hospital, and go there to get healed, and then you go on. And so it was good. But that night, God blessed us big. He blessed us with over $42,000. Isn't that amazing? That is awesome. Because our budget is like $282,000 a year. It sounds like a lot, doesn't it? It is a lot. But I want to tell you, the day before the banquet, I had checked the mail, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 electric bills. We had the auction, we had the banquet on Thursday night, and then Friday, I was like, because there's a moment there, you're like, oh, man, these bills. Then the water bills came. There were 6 of those. I think the water bills, were almost $900, just in water bills. So I thought, why was the church water bill so high? It was over $200-some. I thought, oh, yeah, we had all those animals from Georgia come up and help. All those awesome people from Georgia came up and helped, and they did a great job over there. But, you know, when you got 42 people from Georgia come up, that's 42 showers probably, all day long. Because you go over there and work in those houses, you're not going to go to bed. You got to take a shower. So water bill kind of goes up a little bit. Our insurance is really high. That's almost $15,000 a year or so, something like that. We're well protected, but it's a big price. But I thank the Lord so much for that. He blessed us in a big way, and so I'm very thankful for that. And you know, I was talking to Bob was telling me, because I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't see that in the room. And sometimes it just humbles us to remind us we don't know what God is doing. And so it is amazing what God can do with a little group of people of 100. Y'all remember we had a big, large group over there at the park. I forgot what it was called, Heritage Hall at one time. And we had, I mean, the place was packed. And I know our group was kind of at the end of it, we thought, yeah, we're going to be fine. There's a lot, like 300-some people. We ended up with just over $3,000, I think it was. And that was kind of a gut shot, but it just reminded us that we just keep leaning on the Lord. God uses people, and we need to be reminded that keep our eyes on the Lord and not on the people. He's the giver and the blesser. But sometimes in our walk with the Lord, it's not always as good as we want it to be. And Timothy was a guy that Paul was mentoring. And in some of the letters that Paul wrote, he would say, now, be careful. I want you to accept this young man, Timothy. I want you to accept him. And sometimes he would say in there, now, Timothy comes. He shouldn't have anything to fear, which means you older guys don't need to be all over him. He's a young guy. Don't make it harder than what it is. And so he was mentioned in some of the letters that Paul wrote. And you can see it even when he was serving with him a little bit here and there. But 1 Timothy is the first one, the first letter that he wrote to Timothy that we have. And we have a second letter that he wrote to Timothy. And I want to read a couple of things out of the last part of 1 Timothy, because I want you to see. I hope some of you guys have an encouraging person in your life. Somebody that encourages you. But also isn't just going to puff you up with a bunch of hot air. But it's going to be real with you from time to time. Somebody that's going to speak love and speak truth with encouragement. Does that make sense? We need to be encouraged, but we also need to be kind of, a person needs to be able to speak into our life without us getting upset about it. We got to remember, we got to grow some thick skin, okay? People are going to say things, and you're going to have to deal with that because you can't just run and quit church. And let me remind you, don't quit attending your worship in the Lord. You're only hurting yourself, but you're also hurting the church where you could be serving and helping. 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's just a couple of verses here I want to share with you what Paul is saying. He wants to remind Timothy, don't put all your stuff in stock into this world. He says in verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. I use this scripture all the time when I'm doing a funeral. You brought nothing into this world, and listen, you can't take nothing out. So all the things you collect, all that stuff, and collecting things are cool. I like to collect NASCAR cars. I got a few other collections. But in the end, it's fun. It's kind of nice. But in the end, that's what it was. Nothing special. It's something that you like because you don't get to take it with you. Paul is reminding Timothy that you brought nothing into this world, but also you can't take nothing out. But he also says in verse 12, let me read verse 11, but you, O man of God, he reminds me he's a man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. And there was a list of some things. A lot of it was dealing with money. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Those are the things we just talked about on Wednesday night called fruits of the Spirit. You need to take these things, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And then he says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. If you want to get into a fight, get into the good fight of faith. Not all other fights. Just get into the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, which means you know that is yours. That eternal life through Jesus Christ is yours. Because Christ gave it to you and you received it. In verse 20, he ends the letter with this. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Guard it. What God's called you to do. Guard it. Don't let it go. Be the man of God that God's called you to be. And the letter ends. It's an encouragement to Timothy, and it's encouraging peace. But how many of you know you can't live on the mountaintop every day? We want to, but you can't. We live in a broken world, and we have darkness all around us, and sometimes it gets close to us, and sometimes it starts to want to try to consume us. But God always protects His own. There's a second letter, the one I want to get into, the second letter. Paul is writing to Timothy. Something's going on with Timothy. Something's not working. He's been encouraged by the mentor of mentors. He's been lifted up by Paul. I mean, he's been lifted up. He's been challenged. Sometimes I think Timothy, through some of the readings you read, sometimes you think that the enemy is not the enemy that he should have had, but it's the enemies. It is the people that was within the groups of believers. Many times it seems like that was so. But he calls him in verse 2, he says, and 2nd chapter Timothy, chapter 1, he says this, to Timothy, a beloved son. He's calling him a son here. He's saying here, you and I are connected, and there's a lot with him. He says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day. I want to tell you, if you have a mentor in your life, they are praying for you. If you are a mentor to someone, you need to know that if you're a mentor, you need to be praying for them. This goes for male and female. You want to get up in the Lord's business. You want to start doing some things that you know. You need to find somebody that you can mentor and somebody that can be mentor you. Because you can't do this walk by yourself. And I'm going to tell you can't do this walk just kind of coming on, just having a relationship with the church on Sunday morning and not doing nothing out there. You're not going to make it. You got to be involved. You got to have some Christian friends. You got to have somebody that's mentoring into your life, or you're going to be mentoring them. You got to have both on both sides. Somebody's got to be praying for you, because let's be honest, we're not always praying. Sometimes we forget to pray. Sometimes we get caught up in things. Sometimes we got an obstacle in front of us and we're not praying, and we know we should, and we get angry with ourselves because we didn't pray. But you can always remember that if you got a mentor or two, I got somebody in Florida that prays for us and for myself and for my wife every day before I even get up. These are early bird people. These are 4:30 in the morning people. They are praying for me and praying for Carla every day, but they're also praying for this church every day, every morning. And you know what? I believe it. When they say they pray, I believe it. I believe it. He says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. There's some things going on here with Timothy. And Paul's going to remind Timothy, now I want you to remember that faith that is in you. And you need to remember the faith that is in you. Today, this message is about you. It's about getting that spirit fired back up inside yourself. Now, you can't purchase this. You can't go to the store and do it. You can't come into the church and say, and just ask the church to do it. This is between you and the Lord. You got to be the one. You got to do your part. And Scripture's going to tell us that. But he does this piece. He says, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, he says, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you also. So what he's saying, listen, you need to remember your salvation. You always go back to your salvation. You always go back to your salvation. And you need to know one thing beyond everything else. You need to know that it was real. If it wasn't real, then you need to take care of some business. You need to know that your salvation, the day of your salvation, that it was the real deal and that you have no questions about it. And Paul is saying, Timothy, you need to remember who you are in Christ. Listen, sometimes we don't want to go back to the foundation, the basic teachings of Christianity, but sometimes that's exactly where we need to go. It helps us to remember who we are. It helps sure us up on knowing who we are in Christ. But he says this in verse 6, therefore, he says, now you know you got the salvation. You know you're saved. You know it, man. You know you're saved. You need not doubt that. You need to go forward. Because it said what in chapter, the last letter? He said, fight the good fight. Sometimes when you're in a fight, you get hit. And there's no throwing in the towel as a Christian. Because you need to know already, you already won. Because Jesus already won. Jesus is a champion. The only champion. He's the real deal. He's it. He says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, I want you to remind you of another moment. I want you to, you got to stir it up, man. Paul's done everything he could to encourage Timothy. But Timothy's got to do his part. He's got to stir it up inside of himself. He's got to fight this good fight, and it's not against anyone. It's within himself. We lose a lot of battles because we fight ourselves. There's a difference between fighting yourself and fighting within yourself. When you fight yourself, you're fighting everything that's about you. But when you're fighting inside yourself, you're trying to grab a hold of something. You're trying to let something go, or you're trying to grab something within yourself and control it, whatever it may be for you. But he says this, you need to stir the gift of God that is in you. You need to stir it up. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. You've got to do it. You've got to do it, and you're going to have some down days as a believer. You're going to have some down days as a believer, and you've got to say, you know what? It's a down day. I'm okay. I have peace. I'm good. I'm going to get through this. Because I know who I am in Christ. I know what Christ has called me to. I know that I am to be a Christian walking in this world. Let me tell you something, how awesome a Christian is. And I wish we all knew really what it meant. But I'm just going to grab a couple of things so you know. When you walk down the street, I want to tell you, you are somebody. It's not a boastful thing. You are somebody because who's inside of you makes you that somebody. You are a child of God. Now, how many of you parents would let anybody bully you, your kids? Let me just tell you, God's eyes are watching His children. The dark side might try to start a few fights, but I want to tell you, you're never alone. Because Scripture tells you that. You're never alone because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You're never alone because God sees all things. Let me tell you, you are somebody. You are special. You are a child of God. You are special. I mean, I don't think we understand it, but you are special. Scripture says, do not touch my anointed. Anybody that touches one of God's children, I'm telling you, they're going to stand an account. And you're going to thank God that you have God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and not stand before God with the fear of knowing what's getting ready to happen. We need to understand that we need to stir up this fire. Some of you need to stir that back up. Remember the things that you once did with the Lord and for the Lord. How you served Him. How your faithfulness. How you loved others when you couldn't love others. But all of a sudden some of that has grown a little cold. We need to stir it up. Because God's not done with you. Don't care about your situation. God can turn that around into something glorifying. God can turn your situation into something that He can use for His own glory. There's nobody too far off from God that He can't reach. Amen to that. Because if in private some of you would say that I'm the worst sinner, but somebody else would say, no, that I'm worst sinner. Let me tell you my story. And somebody else would say, no, look at my story. And Jesus would just say this as He says, forgiven. Why are we talking about it? Why are we talking about it? Get out of the past, get in the present, and live for the future. Be the person that God's called you to be and shake yourself up, walk into a room. I don't care if you just, whatever you got to do, get right with God. Stir that flame up in there. It may be flickering just a little bit, but I'm telling you, put a little air in it, a little spiritual hot air in there, but you get it in there, give a little praise, put some repentance in there. Put a little quietness in there. I'm telling you, the flame's going to rise up. Because now you're giving God attention. And not attention to everything else. For He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. This is something that I believe through the Scriptures that Timothy struggled with. Is fear. The spirit of fear. But I think a lot of us have struggled with the spirit of fear. Just by saying Jesus in public. Now let me hear y'all say Jesus. Jesus, right? One, two, three, what?
Jesus.
All right, now here's the thing. Now you got to do it with a smile because I only saw like two smiles. And if you're going to say Jesus, Jesus. And people don't come to that, right? They're not going to listen to that, okay? With a smile. One, two, three.
Jesus.
There you go. All right. And we shouldn't be afraid to say His name in public. We shouldn't be fearful of saying His name when we're sitting at a restaurant and we're praying. Look around. Wait until everybody looks at you and then start praying. Be a testimony. But if you might do that, you might have to wait on your food a little bit. So just go ahead and just pray. That's okay. You don't have to whisper. Just pray. People are watching. But let me tell you, not only the lost are watching, there are other Christians watching. And you're praying in public. We'll also encourage them to pray in public the next time. Where it might convict them, saying, "Man, I should have done that. I need to do that more." It's a push for them, and they spark. That's a sparking up someone else's. You're encouraging someone else to stir the flame up in their own life. Listen, it's amazing to me, and I don't want to camp here very long, but it's amazing to me on how much I go out to eat on certain days, on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I don't do the Sunday afternoon. I kind of go home. But some of you, I hope you see people praying out there, because I'm not seeing people pray out there unless it's our group. I just don't. Yet they look like they've been to church. Don't fear, Paul's saying. No, God did not give us a spirit of fear. He didn't do that. He gave us a spirit. He gave us power. So let's walk around, not in a boastful way, but let's walk around knowing I am special because of Jesus Christ. I am special because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And God has a plan for me. So I am filled with power and of love, which the world is not. The world is looking for it in all the wrong places. And if they can find some sense of love, it's never really at the level that God can give. But he said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He gave us power and love and a sound mind. Come on, Timothy, come on, man, you know better than it. You know this. This is what he's saying, you know this. Come on, man, sound mind, man. You know, remember, sound mind. Don't get focused up in the worldly things. Sound mind, shrink that focus in. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Word. Remember what we talked about, sound mind. What is real, what is not? Your voice says a lot of things that are not real. Think about it. How many times have you think you know what somebody else is thinking about what you're doing? Or what someone else is, you think they think they're saying. That's a lot of just nonsense, a lot of garble that the dark side uses to mess you up. The sound mind is a clear mind. But he also says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't shrink back in what you believe. Don't shrink back in the name of Christ, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in his sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Know this, that Timothy, you need to rise up, man. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's something Paul talked about in 1 Romans, isn't it? Do not be ashamed of the gospel. He's telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel, man. You got to rise up. You're the man that God's called for this moment right here. But then he says, for the gospel according to the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He's reaching back in there. He's going down a little deeper, not according to his works. Nobody here is going to impress God by our works. Amen? No one here is going to out-sing an angel in heaven. No preacher is going to out-preach the messages that Jesus preached. So we can just lay all that stuff aside, right? We can lay it all aside. So it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. God has a purpose. And his grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So he's saying this, listen, Timothy, don't think you got to have it all 100% together in the way that you think. Just remember this, God has a plan, you're a part of it. He's called you to do something, and it's not according to your works, but according to his purpose and his grace, giving us the power to do what he's called us to do. So when you're sitting there, as simple as eating a meal at a restaurant, and you know, like, I know I need to pray, listen, you stop right there and you say, Lord, give me the power. I know the power is inside of me, and just quit thinking about it. Just begin. We're praying, everybody, and if they aren't doing it, don't worry about them dropping forks. Don't worry about them talking or whatever. Just do it. And that's just something simple, but yet it is so hard. But Paul is telling Timothy, come on, man, you know it's not about you anyway. It's about God. But has now he's been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know what's amazing? I don't care how many times you've heard the gospel preached or taught. When you hear it in the way that it's presented by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is always fueling us. It's always spiritual food. It always makes us stronger. When I hear someone else share the gospel, man, that just pumps me up. When I see somebody carrying a Bible down the street, that excites me. When I see somebody at a restaurant with a Bible, yeah, that's a good one. That is an encouragement and should be to all of us. But he says, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He's reminding them, listen, this is who I was. This is who I am. Come on, Timothy, this is who I am. I'm a preacher. He says, I'm a preacher. I'm an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You notice he didn't say, oh, I was a Pharisee. He didn't go in the past, did he? He's in the present and to the future. And he was back in the day a Pharisee. He had Christians arrested. And Timothy is listening to this. And I want to tell you, when you got a good mentor in your life, this is powerful stuff. Not just anybody wrote this. This is a letter that's writing. This is Paul's writing this letter in love, but he's being real. He's being truthful. He's being challenging. He said, come on. Come on, man. He says this, for this reason I also suffer things. He says, listen, you're not the only one, man. I'm also suffering. He's in prison. He's in prison because he shares the gospel. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and persuaded. Paul says, I know who I believe. I know who has persuaded me. I know Jesus Christ. You've got to get this back. You got to get it back, Timothy. You got to do this. You got to go back to what we talk about, stirring it up inside yourself. What is it that what is God trying to get out of your life? What is he trying to turn inside of yourself? What is he trying to get you to move forward in? This is why it becomes hard at times. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us why it's struggling and hard sometimes. Verse 6, chapter 12, it says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Some of you know this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The fight for Timothy was not all the things that he's seen, but it was that darkness that we don't see. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Why is it? Why does Paul say that? Because we've been saved. If the body dies, we still live. We may be done here, but we just move on. And it's in the glory of God's presence. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but it's those things that are more real than flesh and blood. You heard me say before, there's times when we're in service, and I believe there's angels in the midst here. But I also know sometimes there's darkness and evil in the midst. That's where the battle is. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. There is a great spiritual battle going on. And it's going right now, it's going in Timothy. And what's Paul say? Paul's putting words of encouragement in him and reminding him that he needs to step it up. He needs to stir up that fire, and also reminds him of his salvation. He reminds him of his calling. He reminds him of all those things that Christ did for him. Not that he did for Christ, but Christ did for him. And he's pushing him along. And now he's got a few more chapters he wants to tell him. These are the things we need to talk about. But we got to get to first. We got to do this first thing first. You got to stir it up. I understand being down a little bit. From time to time, we all get down. Amen? But that's not where God wants us to stay. When we get down in there, guess what we ought to be doing? We ought to be praying more. We ought to be getting right with God. This is where we stir the fire up. This is where we go back and we start looking at some old testimonies. We start looking at those things that are going to keep sparking it up so we can be the person that God wants us to be. Listen, you play around with this for a long time, you're going to be 5 years older. You're no longer going to be, listen, I'm going to talk to somebody. You're not going to be 30 no more. You're going to be 35. We all have been 35. We know where that is. That's somewhere way back there. Yeah. It's these old guys. Yeah. They're older than me, I can say that. Don't let years pass by because you're afraid. Don't let years pass by because you're in fear. Don't let years pass by because you're going to let someone else do it, whatever that is. Don't let fear conquer your life. Be what God's called you to be. Be that man, be that woman God's called you to be. You go, what person am I supposed to be? Listen, you follow in the footsteps of the Lord. You listen to the Lord and He'll lead you there. You're not going to know that right now. He's going to lead you there. It's an ongoing process. Every day we're to live our life different than the world and to live it for Christ. And when we get down to these moments, thank God that He put this in Scripture because He knew that Timothy wasn't going to be the only one. There's times I've read that and I've had to make some adjustments in my own life. I've had to wrestle with that because I knew Carla couldn't do it for me. I knew you guys couldn't do it for me. But there was times when I was like, man, it's kind of flat. And I need to stir it up. That causes me to have more conversation with God, to get in His Word, to think about the things that are of God. Maybe to step out of my comfort zone and maybe go here or maybe go there. Do whatever I need to. Listen to a couple of different preachers. I need to do some things. I'm just going to work on some things that's going to stir my heart back up for the Lord. And you know what I do? What I do when I'm around? I love to be around people who's excited about their relationship with Jesus. And right now, it's hard to find that. It's hard to find churches excited about Jesus. They're out there. I know some. It's hard to find pastors that are excited about Jesus. It's hard to find church members that are excited about Jesus Christ. But that's not the question. The question is, what about you? Is there a fire inside of you? Or just a little flickering flame that's there because you have the Holy Spirit and you have salvation and that's about what you got right now? Oh, it's good. Believe me, it's good. You better have that. You need the salvation piece. But you want that flame to go out and you want it to light up. You got to put some air in it. You got to stir it up. You got to poke it around that fire. You got to get it stirred up. I think God's waiting for some of you to stir it up. Listen, $42,000, that's what God can do. That's what God does. But also know God's watching to see what we're going to do. And I think the one thing is we need not to be ashamed of Jesus. We need to be proud that we serve Jesus Christ. We should be happy that we serve the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We should be living it out. Every house we live in the community should be a bright light to the community and in the community. Listen, I have nothing that's going to fix all your problems. But I know one who can work on them one at a time. And you'll be a lot better off with him than you will be with any program in the world. Anyone else in the world, you get close to God, I'm telling you, God can change a life. And if God can change a life, He can change a marriage. If God changes a marriage, He can change a family. If God's a part of your life, He can break old sinful habits from one generation. You notice that some of the junk in your life come from your family, your parents, that come from another parents down your tree of life. God can break those sinful chains. He can break those old habits and them old sinful things that your family loves to do. It's in your bloodline. But when you come to Christ, you get a new bloodline. It's clean and it's pure. I say Jesus all the way. Not halfway, but all the way. And are you letting Jesus lead your life all the way? Father, as we close out this part, I just pray, Father, we open up this altar. Whatever it means, Lord, for you and your people today. and the people here. May we understand and know that we have a responsibility to stir up a fire, a spiritual fire inside of ourselves. That you may work the things that only you can do through us. That we would be willing vessels. And Father, in this moment that we have, may your will be done. Whatever it is, may it glorify you in Christ's name, whom we love. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. This time is our altar call time. If you want to come and pray, you can do that. This is a time when you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a way that only He can. Maybe ask God to give you a little more courage out there in the public world, not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. That men, you're going to lead your family when you pray out there in the restaurants or you go places, you're going to pray. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you struggle with that and you need a relationship with Him. And that salvation only comes through Christ and Christ alone. That's it. There is no other way. Can't sprinkle anything on you. Can't put you underwater. That's not going to save you. This is a heart condition. If you need Christ in your life, I'd love to share the gospel with you. You can just come on down. But if your life isn't right, and you know that, I don't have to tell you anything. You know that. The Holy Spirit convicts us and tells us that our heart's not right. Or maybe that He wants us just to, I want you to come a little closer with me. Maybe He wants you to draw closer to Him. What I always say is this, it's better to be obedient with whatever God tells you to do than do anything else. God loves you right where you're at, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. He wants to draw you into a relationship like no other. People may say, well, I don't understand how to really stir myself up, how to stir it up. Just take a couple closer steps with Jesus and He'll tell you how to do the rest. Don't make it complicated. We make things too complicated in church. Let me just tell you, some churches don't do this, and that's okay, that's a prerogative. But we do this, and we do it for a reason. Why would you want to put out spiritual food if you're not willing, and it'll give you an opportunity really to really take it and respond to it? The Holy Spirit moves upon people. We just need to let God do what He's going to do. And I think that's what they're doing up here. They're just praying and making, getting right with God. And all I've seen through Scripture is just men and women would keep going to the altar over and over and over. There's just something about an altar. Hey, Pam, I just saw your shirt. This girl loves Jesus. All right. I just now saw that. All right.
Hope you're glad you came to church this morning. It's been a good morning. We will worship our way out of here.
Well, it's good to see all of you here today. So if you're unashamed of the gospel, just lift your hand up. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word today, and through song and through word and through fellowship. We want to thank you for the encouragement that we have from others and within our church. We want to thank you, Lord, for the great blessing that you gave to us for the ministries on Thursday night, Lord. That's just amazing. Only you could have done that. And Father, thank you for your scripture, Lord, that tells us that we are to stir ourselves up for you. And Lord, when we just do a little bit, you do a lot. And thank you, Lord, for just getting us to those places where you just remind us it's time to stir it up. And Lord, I pray, Father, my heart is stirred up for you. I pray, Father, that new life is stirred up for you. The ministries are stirred up for you. But also pray, Father, for the big family of new life, that our hearts would be stirred up individually and collectively. Again, thank you, Lord, for being the awesome God that you are. We give all praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.